Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are set free from the bondage of the enemy. Here's Mike McIntosh with more on the subject.
So I want you to understand you are in no bondage to being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a Christian. But Jesus isn't the leader of Christianity. He's the Lord of his people. And we're not in a box that's different than other people. We're people that have been born again by the Spirit of God and forgiven of our sins. And that should bring us tremendous joy that everybody looks at us and says, why do you have such a hope within you? Oh, I'd like to tell you. And we tell them, they go, oh my goodness.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
This Wednesday broadcast of CMV Radio, we continue our look at the seven churches from Revelation chapter 2 as our teacher and author Mike McIntosh looks at the letter to the church at Smyrna. John writes that this church is going to suffer and that the devil is about to throw some of them into prison that they may be tested. And he encourages them to be faithful even to death, because it is then that they will receive the crown of life. A crown that each one of us who have put our faith and trust in Jesus will one day receive as well. Let's open our Bible to Revelation and join Mike for today's study.
Chapter 2 of Revelation. We left off looking at the letter to the angel of the church at Ephesus. And we mentioned this is part 2 of the book of Revelation. Part 1 is chapter 1, the introduction of the revealing of Jesus. Chapter 2 and 3 are the Lord talking to the churches, seven churches in seven geographical areas of Asia. But also, these letters relate to churches, seven types of churches around the world through every century. Then it gets more personal, and these letters from the angel, or some would say that word could mean pastor, that is to be given to the church, is for the individual. And so we apply it to ourselves. So tonight, we're going to finish those last two verses in chapter 2 of Ephesus. We left off at verse 5. We're going to look at verse 6 and 7. Then we're going to go to the second letter to the city of Smyrna. And then the third letter, the city of Pergamos. And those are all strange names, aren't they? Smyrna and Pergamos. Are you a Smyrmite? I don't know what you'd be if you lived there, actually. But Father, we thank you for this time of worship that we've had to humble ourselves in your presence. And it's always difficult to humble ourselves in the world. Everybody's moving so fast, except for when you drive from San Diego to Rolo Land. They're moving pretty slow. And we thank you that we don't have to move at the pace of this world, but at the steps you're taking in our lives. I want to thank every man and woman that is here. They're all special in your eyes. You love them so dearly. Many of them have been broken, and it's hard for them to think that you would love them or care for them. Or the question, like when I first met you, is why would you care? You know who I am. And I'm not somebody that would normally hang around with you. But yet, you came down to my level, though I could never get up to yours. And I so appreciate that about you, Father, that you've loved us through the thick and thin. And how many times I can just think, before I was 21, I should have died from stupid stuff. And probably there are hundreds of times, if you took all of us in this room and said your story, you have been with us when we're in our mother's womb and before, thinking us out, creating us. We thank you for that. We pray we can learn from the mistakes of these churches, and you'll help us be overcomers. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. There was two thoughts I didn't get across last week that I think we should close out with, And that's basically the last two verses in him speaking to the church of Ephesus, which would be chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. And I'd like to read those with you. And like I always like to say, to encourage, and it takes a while, but I love to go to church or sit and listen on the internet or watch a Bible study, go to somebody's home. I always take a notebook or a notepad. I have legal pads, stacks of them. I've done it for years. And it's a good thing. I don't go back to say, well, I'm going to teach this book again, because I've taught Revelation, I couldn't tell you how many times, many, many times, but it's totally different from what I've ever learned before, because it's for you. And he showed me when Pastor Jerry invited me that you're really special people. And I didn't know what that meant until I met you. And you are different. Oh, I mean special. I'm different. You're special. So I just think that his love, when a group of people that have something in common, like we understand life and how harsh it can be and painful, there's so much he can do around us and through us because we're more understanding. So I just want you to get the best that you can when we're together. And so I'm just getting you prepared for what the Lord wants to do with us all. So it's always good to take notes and jot them down and memorize things in your minds. So we left off at verse 5, and these were the last two words that he had to say to the church of Ephesus, verse 6. He's telling them the things that's wrong with them. They've done a lot of good works and everything, and it sounds like they're a very active church and into it. But he said in verse 4, nevertheless, I have this against you. We're all hiding something, or we're all guilty of something that's not out in the open for everybody else, but Jesus sees it. And that's what he's saying to them. You've got all these great things going, you look like you're really touching your neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. Nevertheless, and it was that word that I was taught when I was an intern pastor, was I was told that you're going to sit and counsel people, and I've done that sometimes for 8 hours, 10 hours a day, and you really learn a lot about people, and you listen. He said, listen for the first 20 minutes and just wait, and you'll hear the word but, or the same word, nevertheless, erase everything they said. Now the real story is going to come out. You got me? Okay, I was a reserve police officer in San Diego for 9 years, and for 40 years I've been both a reserve and set up the chaplaincy. So I understand people from the street level and from the pulpit level and from the sitting down face-to-face level. And there's a saying in law enforcement, their lips are moving, they're lying. And so the cop just knows that. You can say whatever you want, and they're not going to believe you until you say what you should. So that's what Jesus is doing here. Da 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 da. But, however, nevertheless, I have this against you. And what did he have against them? He said this. I have this against you, that you left your first love. You've left him. And I say, what? Only one thing against him? I have multitudes against me. If you were to say I have something to talk to you about, take a few days. But we saw that part. And then he said, remember where you were at one time and what you've fallen to. And the healing part is for you to repent, start over, or basically do your first works. So in verse 6, but this you have, that he really applauds them for. This you have. And we want to have all those that we can have him say, you've got this going in your life, and I'm really proud of you. And what is it that they have that he wants to talk about? You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Can the God of love hate? Well, I want to love everyone, but I want to hate everything that he hates. I don't want to get involved. Maybe I did before I knew him, but now that I know him, I'm going to hate it. But what is it that he hates? But this you have, you hate the deeds of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. So he who has an ear to hear, hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give to him to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So we'll just leave this story about the church of Ephesus with those two thoughts. He hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, we should know what a Nicolaitan is so we can hate it too. Right? Wouldn't you think? Yeah, I want to know if there's something he hates. We have rattlesnakes in our area. We live near a canyon. And so I have a lot of kids and a lot of grandkids and a lot of great-grandkids. And I want him to know, might be a nice snake, good boy, but I hate him because he could bite you and kill you. So I don't want him in the yard. And there was one by the pool one day, and he was underneath the one of the couches out by the pool. And little six-year-old granddaughter goes hopping along, and her eight-year-old cousin screams, and the snake is there, and I see it, and I go, oh, my goodness. Then the dog gets into it, and he's barking, and I'm calling security, come get this snake. And this one snake that was trying to just hide, he was in big trouble. And so I think it's good that we would know something that he hates, and then we identify it and realize, wow, this is a viper that he's talking about. That bites a lot of people. Niko is a word that means over. The Laetans were where we get the word laity. And he hates those over the people. It literally means to conquer the people. And so there are churches all over the world in denominations where there's a Niko over the laity. And there is a hierarchy going up higher and higher. And this guy's all the way at the top. And then these are something. And those are bishops. And these are something. And they dress differently than you and me. And they make us feel we can never attain to get as close to God as they are. Are you with me? Okay, you don't look like it. But are you with me? Okay, so we don't want that. We're brothers and sisters, the New Testament teaches us. We're one. There is no hierarchy. There are gifts. And they're to be respected, and there are positions, but it's nobody better than you in the body of Christ. Jesus walked along. He didn't build a big cathedral and say, come in and see me. Man does that. It's all personal interactions with people that are going to heaven for eternity, and so he just wants us to be casual and be ourselves, who we are. There's no secret to it. It's about you. He wants you to be the best and have the best that you could possibly have. It's about you. So the truth is love. And we have a ceremony in Christianity, and it's not somebody speaking in Latin to us that none of us understand. It's the only class in graduate school I got a B in, and the guy said, I expected so much more from you. I said, well, professor, it's all Greek to me. And he did not like that. He wanted to make it an F right there on the spot. But you know that you go to a church and a guy swings his thing with the incense coming out and he says some word, and you and I don't understand. I've learned that when it comes from God, you understand. Amen. And when it is God, I understand right away. If I'm wrong or in trouble or if he's just saying he loves me, I know this is the Lord. So I want you to understand you are in no bondage to being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a Christian. But Jesus isn't the leader of Christianity. He's the Lord of his people. And we're not in a box that's different than other people. We're people that have been born again by the Spirit of God and forgiven of our sins. And that should bring us tremendous joy that everybody that looks at us says, why do you have such a hope within you? Oh, I'd like to tell you. And we tell them, they go, oh my goodness, I prayed with a man today. He is ready to fight me. And we had a very interesting two or three days going back and forth. I was trying to help a friend and I figured he was a con artist and scam man. And I pushed him as far as he could push him. He had no idea who I was. And when we met today, he said, you're totally different than I thought. And I says, oh, were you thinking something bad? And he said, yeah, I thought you're nuts. And I knew he wanted to go at it, but I said, nah, I was just protecting a friend. And you wouldn't answer questions that I'd ask. And you got a little bit squirrely on me. And I don't want my friend to get hurt. I'm representing my friend. I understand. By an hour later, we're holding hands and we're praying. So Just be open, no matter if it's negative. It can be turned around within 30 minutes. And just love. It's about love. So what is our ceremony? Our ceremony is basically worship God. You can have it more than that if you want, and have things on the wall and idols in the windows and beautiful facilities and all of that. But it's about your heart. That's the beautiful temple right there, this heart of yours, that your mind is pure and clean and fresh and free. Wow, that's a gift from God. And that's the ceremony. Worship God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But we have a mission. And what's that mission? Well, it's a law from God in one sense, but it's a commandment also. But what is it we're supposed to do as a Christian? It's not about all the time you're hearing about money when you go to a meeting of the gospel. God's not poor. And it's not all about what we're doing. It's all about us getting as much time as we can with the Lord. The more time during the day and the night that you can pray and you can sing and you can worship and you can ask forgiveness and you can pray for wisdom for the next day, man, your life would just be glowing. But you get worried about the world about you and the things about you. Just pulls us down. That's not our mission. Our mission is two things. That's all he commands us. You ready for it? Are you? Two of you are. Okay. Mission number one, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mission number two, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you don't love yourself, how are you going to love me? You got to forgive yourself. Some of you are still hanging on to the old you. Let your old you die. Pick up your cross, follow him. It's that simple. Love God, love man. The rest of it, you're just making up. That's all he requires. And if I'm busy singing to myself, driving down the freeway, or I'm grumpy because the traffic is so goofy, and most people are texting on their phones, and that's why the traffic's so goofy, and you want to get out and talk to them about Goofy and Mickey and the rest of them, you don't do that anymore. You just let that old nature go. So he ends there in verse 7 by saying, he who has an ear. That's simple. I have an ear. Do you all have an ear? Put your hand on your right ear. Okay, now put your hand on the left ear. Now cover them both. You can't hear a word I'm saying, can you? So you've got to hear with these ears. And some wise man once said, do you notice you have one mouth and two ears? Amen. It means you're to use something twice as much as the other. Right? So if you have an ear, then listen, listen, listen. If you have an ear to hear, listen what the Spirit says to the church, says, plural. Not just this church, but this is a book of churches. This letter was in a book. And they could all see. In one letter, Paul says, and be sure to read the letter to the Laodiceans, to a church that's not even mentioned here. These things were common among the Christian community in the first century. And we still have the same problems in the 21st century. Isn't that interesting? You know, Adler, Jung, and Freud discovered nothing but the same thing and just spoke in circles. And you can go get a PhD and start telling people the same thing in circles. Or you can get on your knees and ask God and he'll speak to you and heal you. So this is common. Man's nature has never changed. And the first thing they did, once they disobeyed God and ate of the fruit, is that one of the sons murdered the other brother. That's what happens when you get away from God. And it went on and on and on. Then he went out to the land of Nod, which is the east of Eden. And I always say he went and nodded out. But he named a city after his grandson, Cain did. And that was the first government without God. And it was the role model for every city council, every county supervisor group, every president, every Congress, every Senate, and every House in the world. Godless. You're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of this world. For your kingdom is in heaven. We're just pilgrims and sojourners. We're passing through. But on the way, you just came from a great vacation, and you're going to tell everybody how great your vacation was, and would you like to come back with me and do a little surfing? This spot is so beautiful where I had my vacation last year. And that's all you're doing. You're on your way home to heaven. Some of you might be there sooner than others. We'll all be there someday, and it's going to be soon. And we want to bring as many people with us as we can. That's the simplicity of it. Don't make it a burden for yourself, a burden for your heart, for souls, yes. But don't think that you're not too good for this or you're not able to do it. You're all able to love God and love people. And above all, love your family. If you're a mommy and a daddy, you love those children. And you love them and love them because they look to you. So you have an ear. And it's interesting that he said, to those who overcome. Now I want you to underline that word because it's used several times in the letters to the churches. Eat, you will eat of the tree of life. Isn't it interesting that trouble started in the garden and this tree will be in the midst of paradise? And the devil said to Eve, and we should have raised our hand and said, hold it, excuse me, why isn't her husband with her? Why is she talking to the serpent by herself? See, there's a miscommunication between husband and wife from the very beginning, and they were in the Garden of Eden. So there is no perfect people, even if they thought they were perfect for a moment. And she says to the devil, she gets in a conversation, he says, has God truly said that you shall not eat of the tree? And she said, God said, surely you shall not touch or eat of that tree, for you shall surely die. Oh, shall you surely die? She's in a conversation. The devil loves to get you in conversations, and he plants lies, and your mind starts watering these lies, and 6 months later, you're doing something. You don't know why you're doing that. Don't even talk to him. Don't give him the time of day. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I used to dance with the devil all the time. I hung out in a lot of bars, and I thought he was pretty cute. I didn't know that was the devil I was dancing with, but I said, well, okay, I'll dance with you. And then I'd start drinking with the devil, and then I started hearing his jokes, and I started living like him. No, don't give him the time. Resist him. You know what he does? He flees from you. And that flea doesn't mean scratchy kind of fleas that get on you from your cat. He's going to do as much as he can to quickly get out of your presence. He's going to go look for another girl or another boy that's weak. And he'll mess with them. Don't waste your time with him. He's too much into the Bible. She prays way too much. She won't fall for that one. Go get that one over here. So you want to just, from the minute, resist him and he'll flee from you. So I think it's interesting, in closing to that church, the serpent was used and the tree brought together against Adam and Eve. But God gave commandments about the tree, but they didn't hear it clearly. And when you don't hear God clearly, you don't act clearly. You make mistakes. And we know how we should act and how we should live by reading the book. And all we need is the Spirit in us and the words to tell us and for Jesus to help us. And we live a whole new life. And it starts out in the first book about the tree and ends in the last book about a tree, tree of life. And this one, God makes promises to he who overcomes.
We're going to make this our stopping point for today, so please be sure to join us on Thursday as we continue our study from Revelation chapter 2 and our look at the letter to the church at Smyrna. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we profess and confess our desire to serve Him and make Him Lord of our life. Putting our faith into action is the difficult part. Obedience, trust, and servanthood don't automatically overcome our sin nature. It has to be done supernaturally as Christ's love and mercy gradually transforms our disobedient heart. Well, in its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete teaching through Revelation, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. As we learn about life-changing principles and applications from the Bible, perhaps you can think of a friend who you can tell about this weekday program. We appreciate you taking part in the growth of this radio outreach. Tune in next time as we continue our new series through Revelation. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.